Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 23rd day of February, 2018. Just 2 days after the death of Billy Graham. This is a program that I was not looking forward to conducting, and it's not because I wasn't looking forward to having another conversation with a former guest of mine, Brad K. Zell, but it's because it's a very uncomfortable thing to criticize a man that is a great hero to many across the globe, a man who in many regards lived an exemplary life, a man whose record on many issues may be a lot more spotless than my own, a man who is in an age of celebrity where there is rarely a celebrity that you can find that hasn't been caught up in a scandal, whether sexual or financial or otherwise. And Billy Graham was a man who seems to have a spotless record on a human level, that is, a human perspective in regard to those things. But because of the fact that there are very, very serious and theologically dangerous and theologically heretical things that Mr. Graham has said and even placed into policy with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in regard to the Crusades and so on, I believe that this program is a necessary one, especially since you are probably not going to hear it anywhere in the media with the exception of some isolated fundamentalist broadcasts or internet commentary and perhaps some of those of my own background and the conservative, reformed, and Calvinistic circles that I have fellowship with. And not all of that, I think, is going to be helpful. I think that there is going to be unnecessarily, and unfortunately, some who go way overboard in their condemnation of Mr. Graham, and perhaps even, whether consciously or unconsciously, enter into the realm of slander and unnecessary mockery and so on. And we want to first of all, have you all pray that the Graham family, in this season of mourning, are brought peace that only can come from the Holy Spirit, that they are brought closer to the Lord as a result of this, and that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, as they are at a crossroads now, that they are guided by God and His Word into the decisions they make, into the directions they take in the 21st century. But today we have to talk about Billy Graham, Brad K. Zell, who is an elder at the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. He's the president of the International Council of Christian Churches, president of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, editor of Redeeming the Time Quarterly Magazine. He's a member of the Executive Committee of the American Council of Christian Churches, and stated clerk of Faith Presbytery, Bible Presbyterian Church. Today we are going to be discussing specifically a booklet that he wrote 20 years ago, but is probably more necessary to be read today than it ever was before, The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after a long absence, Brad K. Zell.
Good to be with you, Chris.
And Brad, if you could, just give us a little bit of an explanation as to your background. Tell us something about the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that is the very congregation where Billy Graham was raised. Am I wrong on that?
He was raised in the Bible Presbyterian Church. Our present congregation wasn't started until 1966, but many of the people that knew him were in our church, yes.
So tell us something about specifically the Bible Presbyterian Church. What sets it apart from other churches and even Bible Presbyterian churches?
Well, the Bible Presbyterian Church was started in 1937 and 38, and it had ministers who had left the Presbyterian Church USA due to the apostasy in that denomination, where men no longer believed in the doctrines of Scripture. And the Bible Presbyterian Church believed that only a faith that was rooted and founded in the Word of God and the historic Christian faith could be a true Christian church. And we are, as Chris mentioned, with being Reformed, we are a Reformed group. We hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith and catechisms as our system of doctrine.
And it's interesting. I'm sure that a lot of folks, especially from more conservative backgrounds, and perhaps even especially from fundamentalist backgrounds, when they read the name of some of these organizations like the International Council of Christian Churches or the American Council of Christian Churches, they may have a knee-jerk reaction and incorrectly connect those organizations with the very liberal and, in fact, even apostate organizations that have similar-sounding names. Perhaps you could explain in more detail so we can alleviate that apprehension and anxiety. Tell our listeners about the International Council of Christian Churches and also the American Council of Christian Churches.
Yes, the American Council of Christian Churches was started in 1941 with two denominations, the Bible Presbyterians and the Bible Protestant Church, and very quickly a number of Methodist and Baptist churches around the United States joined together in a witness for the historic Christian faith. And it was in opposition to the Federal Council of Churches, which, as Chris mentioned, was very liberal and began in 1908. And then in 1951, the Federal Council became the National Council of the Churches of Christ in America, which exists today. And most of your mainline denominations are part of the National Council of Churches. The International Council was started in 1948 in Amsterdam, where the Pilgrim Fathers had worshipped in the historic church where they had worshipped, and it has continued on since that time with Bible-believing Christians from all around the world. And I just have returned from Peru and Chile and had blessed fellowship with a number of Baptist and Presbyterian and Methodist churches that stand for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the verse that I just quoted from Revelation 1:9 is the theme verse of the International Council.
Yes, I happen to know that a local congregation here in Carlisle, Faith Chapel, recently had some of their leaders attend an event where you were present, something involving the Bible Presbyterian Church denomination, even though this church that I'm speaking of is not in that denomination.
Yes, we were together in Greenville, South Carolina, at the annual convention of the American Council of Christian Churches.
Great. Well, I am going to, right away, just because I know that especially some folks who do not know the information that we are going to be providing, they may be already boiling over with anger and resentment, might mentally tune out to things that we are going to say today because they cherish Billy Graham as a great hero of the faith, a man who has become known as America's president, a man who has even been described as the conscience of America, And I'm going to play a clip of an interview that Robert Schuller had with Billy Graham in the Crystal Cathedral. And even though this occurred many years ago, to this day, when I play this for people, they are stunned. It's amazing how people can cherish a man as deeply as they cherish Billy Graham and be ignorant of a lot of these things, because these were not secretive things. These were very publicly declared and proclaimed things on nearly every interview that he had, or at least as early as the 80s. But I'm gonna play this for you without further ado, and then after I play this, I do want to begin a discussion of Graham going back to the days before there was any known departure from biblical faithfulness or orthodoxy. And I do want to start the program with as much positive things that we can say. Not that we will exhaust a list of great things to say about Billy Graham in this program, but what I mean is say as many things as time will allow us to say before we get to the heart of our discussion. But here is Robert Schuller having a discussion with Billy Graham in the Crystal Cathedral.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There is a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
Well, before we go on, as I said, to discuss some of the positive things about Billy Graham's legacy and his life, we have to just comment on that. It may have gone over people's heads if they weren't listening carefully, because, of course, God is calling people from the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the atheists to himself, but he is calling them out of those religions and those false belief systems. He is regenerating them and converting them and giving them the gift of faith. They are conscious that they are falling in love with and following Christ. This is not something that they are oblivious to while they either worship the Muslim understanding of Allah or the multitudes of gods worshipped by Hindus, or the pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps that the atheists might be involved in and who might even be doing good charitable deeds but reject the existence of God, because Mr. Graham seemed to include those of the unbelieving category. This is what he has said there, is that these people will remain in these false religions and ideologies and will be in heaven. Am I correct in that assessment?
Yes, you are, and I believe it contradicts a number of scriptures. Acts 4:12 says says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the whole way through, you can turn to Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It isn't just by some nebulous belief, but it's belief in Jesus Christ for our salvation, which God gives us the salvation, but it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Now, I don't know if Mr. Graham ever became friendly with some of the primitive Baptists. I don't know if you're, how familiar you are with them, but and I don't, I have to be very careful not to broad brush because they are not all identical, but there is a belief that is common amongst primitive Baptists that is very hyper-Calvinistic. You and I are Calvinists, but we are historically accurate and biblically faithful Calvinists. There are primitive Baptists who believe that there are men, women, and children among God's elect who will never on this earth come to faith in Christ. They so far separate the necessity of faith or faith's involvement in one's regeneration that they come to the heretical conclusions that faith is not an essential for one to enter into heaven. And I have no idea if Billy Graham got this concept from them, but I always wondered that because it seems similar. Do you have any idea how this understanding in his mind developed? Because he seems to be clear, and this is commonly called pluralism, that nobody is saved by false gods. He believed, it seems from everything he has said, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that Jesus Christ is necessary, and that his death on the cross is necessary, and his resurrection is necessary, and his, you know, sinless life, his perfect obedience to the Father, and all these things are necessary, but they are not necessary for us to know them and believe them. If you could comment on what I said.
Well, I believe the Scriptures teach us what we often call the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation.
Yes.
And the whole principle of the Protestant Reformation was that the just shall live by faith, and we believe we're saved by faith alone, through grace alone, and through the Scriptures alone, by Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. And this idea, it's a general, the sinful human thing to want to broaden out and to not think that others of other religions can be saved. Graham does say that none can be saved apart from Christ, which is a good
statement. Yes.
But he seems to be much less clear on what that means. And he also says, although I think his theology probably doesn't teach us that salvation is God saves us, it's not we that do it, but yet I think sometimes his Arminianism colors things and causes some of these wrong interpretations.
So although he was raised in the Bible Presbyterian Church, he, from what you know, was not a Calvinist, at least in his adult ministry in any way, even in the early days?
Right. He, I believe, was raised in his very young years in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, which is a Reformed body, and then the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte began in 1939 when the pastor of the 10th Avenue Presbyterian Church in Charlotte walked out with most of the congregation, and Billy Graham's father became an elder of that congregation. But Graham, very shortly after that, became a Southern Baptist, I believe.
About what age was he when he became a Southern Baptist?
I guess he would have been in his 20s. He was born in 1918, and I think it was around 1941 or something, somewhere in that area that he changed from being a Presbyterian to a Southern Baptist.
And, of course, Southern Baptists are a mixed group. They began exclusively and entirely as a Calvinistic denomination, but today the Calvinists are a minority, but they do exist. There are Calvinists who are Southern Baptists, but today it seems the majority are Arminian, although they most likely would not call themselves that.
Right, correct.
But Billy Graham is known to have been a fiery, bold, powerful preacher of the gospel in his early years. I even saw a clip that I think it was Laura Ingraham played on Fox News after they made the announcements of Billy Graham's death. They played a clip of a sermon that I'm actually surprised they played because of its political incorrectness. He actually said that unless you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, your Lord, God, and Savior, and I'm paraphrasing, but these elements were involved in his statement, unless you have an encounter and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your religion means nothing. And that seems to be 180 degrees different from what he began to preach later on in his life. But if you could, before we go into the departure from biblical orthodoxy that sadly was a hallmark of his legacy, if you could tell us some more about the good positive things that you could say about Billy Graham. I mean, it seems that he was for quite a while a very faithful preacher. I mean, he even had a stance against Catholicism in his early days in the 60s. That I don't even take as strong as a stance that he did in this regard. He did not want John F. Kennedy to run for president because he was a Roman Catholic. Now, as much as I am opposed to Roman Catholic theology and think that it is a false church and a false gospel, I don't even think that I would deny a vote to a political candidate because he was Catholic. But he had some very sound views and very controversial views that were courageous in the sense that he seemed fearless about public criticism at one point in his life in those regards.
Yes, I think I might just say before I comment on that the statements that we've just been discussing, where he spoke on Robert Schuller's show, and he reiterated those same views in other places, that those were very late in his life, and it was pretty puzzling that he came out with those views. But Billy Graham, he came out in the 40s in Youth for Christ, and no one can deny that he had many gifts, clear, straightforward preaching, and the ability to resonate with people's hearts. And then he began his long influence with the presidents, beginning with Harry Truman, who at first wasn't too thrilled with Graham, but then came to respect him. And then every president since then, Graham has had a special relationship with. As far as his beliefs, all through the 40s, he described himself as a fundamentalist and fellowshipped with fellow fundamentalists. It wasn't until the mid to late 1950s that Graham turned away from that and decided that he wanted modernists and Catholics and others to join in his crusades. I'm the president of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, and The vice president of the independent board in those days was New York attorney James E. Bennett. And Bennett and Graham were close friends. And, in fact, Billy Graham mentions Bennett in his book, Just As I Am, his autobiography. And Bennett had been an enthusiastic supporter up until the New York Crusade in, I believe, 57, perhaps. And that's when Graham really started to take in people that didn't believe the Bible. And at that point, although they were close friends, Bennett refused to work any longer with Graham. And then a number of fundamentalists put together a book at that time called A Ministry of Disobedience, and a number of prominent Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist leaders who were fond of Graham, but yet they spoke out against his new procedures.
And as I reiterated in the beginning of the program, Mr. Graham, although he reached the level of being a global celebrity, he seemed, as far as we could tell what his heart and mind believed, he seemed to be an extraordinarily humble man in spite of this level of celebrity, and unless you know something that I don't know, he did maintain a sexually pure life. In fact, he had that rule that, in fact, many have mocked our vice president for, to never be seen anywhere in a room, not in a restaurant or anywhere, alone with a woman. He seemed to have a stellar reputation with his marital faithfulness. I don't know of any financial scandal that he was involved in, and things like that. I mean, there are a lot of things that even the best of Christians might be weakened by the fame and fortune that he had. They might be weakened and have been far less stellar examples of integrity and morality than he was. I mean, we do have to give him some credit in regard to some of these amazing things, especially one who lives to 99 years old.
Yes, absolutely. And I in no way am out to tear Billy Graham down. That's no purpose in my life whatsoever. And he certainly, all those things that you mentioned are true, and we can all admire them. I live here in Charlotte, where about 5 miles from where Billy Graham was born and raised, and about that far from where his funeral will be next Friday. And he's a favored son here in Charlotte, and we often get stories in our papers that aren't in other papers just because of his close association here. And even one of our main highways here in Charlotte is the Billy Graham Parkway. And so it would only be mean-spirited to not extol those wonderful things, which are so rare in our day. I mentioned that we had several members in our church here in Charlotte who were now with the Lord, but they were personal friends of the Graham family, and knew his brother Melvin and sister Catherine and Jean. And I saw some of the birthday cards that the Graham family had sent to some of our members, and they were close, although the members in our church had taken a stand against the ecumenical evangelism. And all the ones that I knew, they all spoke well of the whole Graham family. And I just wish that we had more ministers in our day who would hold those standards. We saw the scandals with PTL and Jimmy Swaggart and some of those. And as far as I know, Billy Graham led an exemplary life in accordance with what the Bible teaches.
We have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question about Billy Graham, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back with Brad Zell and more of the legacy of Billy Graham, the accommodation of truth to error in the evangelical church.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Brad K. Zell, elder at the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, president of the International Council of Christian Churches, president of the Independent Board of Presbyterian Foreign Missions, editor of Redeeming the Time Quarterly Magazine, member of the Executive Committee of the American Council of Christian Churches, and stated clerk of Faith Presbytery, Bible Presbyterian Church. We are discussing the legacy of Billy Graham, the accommodation of truth to error in the evangelical church, which is also the title of a booklet written by Brad over 20 years ago that has more importance today, I believe, than when he first wrote it. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Well, before we take any listener questions, why don't you tell us more about something that you hinted at earlier in regard to a conscious decision by Billy Graham to, when he was conducting his crusade ministries, he made that decision when he was at a crossroads on which direction to take. Instead of involving the fundamentalist churches that would have been his circle of fellowship prior to the mid-50s, going back to the earliest days of his ministry, and decided in favor of involvement with Roman Catholics and liberal Protestants. If you could tell us about that pivotal occurrence in history in Billy Graham's legacy.
I believe the main reason that he went that way was not for personal influence and growth and so forth. I attribute no ill motives, but he believed that the gospel of Christ needed to go out, and he didn't want to do anything that would limit or hinder it, so he figured that if he included all the different churches and men that didn't believe the Bible, if they were willing to be on his platform, he was willing to have them, and that would promote the gospel. He made the famous statement that I will go anywhere under any sponsorship to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. And the problem that I have with that, and part of it would reflect our Reformed understanding of Scripture, but it's been said that God's work must be done in God's way in order to receive God's blessing. The Lord is not sitting on the sidelines, dependent upon us to make the gospel known, but he has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but it must be done according to his way, and God will bring the results. So we are not responsible for the results. And if you have that understanding, then you have a whole different idea and philosophy of Christian ministry.
Yeah, so I guess I'm assuming what you're saying is that instead of preaching to the choir by having the involvement of people that were like-minded with him, at least like-minded with his ideology and theology prior to the mid-50s, he thought that it would be best to use his friendships and associations as platforms to evangelize the very ones that he was associating with. But the, as I have said to people even today, or I can remember when Billy Graham back in the 1990s, I guess it was, when he came to New York for a crusade, when I told people of my strong disapproval of his having Roman Catholics and liberal Protestants and even non-Christian rabbis, I'm not talking about Messianic Jews here, we're talking about those rabbis that reject Christ as Messiah, to have them involved on the podium, on the platform, was something that was absolutely unacceptable and dangerous and even heretical. And people would say, in response, Christians would say, but what better way to draw in those people to those crusades than to have those kinds of people associated with him on the platform? And my answer has been to them, why would they want to leave the religions, the false religions that they're in, if they see representatives, key figures who represent their false religions up there on the platform seemingly having an equal voice of truth with Mr. Graham. It makes no sense. Am I confusing in my language here? Or am I babbling?
No, that's correct. And I've seen through the years that just about every error that you find in the church or in false teaching, that human reasoning is at the basis of it, but this is fair, or this, if you don't just look to the Word of God for the way that we should live, our Westminster Confession says that the Scriptures teach us what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man, and we should be satisfied with that. Even when it comes to Calvinism, most of the arguments I hear, well, that's not fair, or that's this, or that's that, but it always goes back to what we, in our fallen human reasoning, think is fair. And I think some of that came into play with the having these men on the platform. Well, there's more opportunity for the gospel to be heard, and you have Bishop so-and-so, well, then all the Catholics from his area will come out to the Crusades, and we'll have much bigger audience and so forth. But is that what God commands us to do, is where we always must fall back?
Now, there are two biblical texts that appear to be in tension with one another. One would be a text that closer resembles something to commend Billy Graham for, and that text is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, speaking about elders, that they must be well thought of by those outside the faith, so that they may not fall into disgrace and be caught by the devil's trap. But then you have the text that seems to be in tension with that, Luke chapter 6, verse 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." I'm not saying that the Bible contradicts itself. I'm just saying that on the surface, those two texts seem to be at least at tension with one another. And Billy Graham seems to have been exemplary on one side of that equation, but has miserably failed on the other side. Am I correct in that assessment?
I believe so, and as you say, those verses aren't in tension. If I, as an elder, am known for getting drunk and not living a sober life and things like that, that brings a disgrace to not only myself, but to the church, and it can be a stumbling block to those who view it. However, when we look at the Scriptures, the prophets of God were seldom popular. Jesus Christ was not popular. They crucified him. The Apostle Paul went through all kinds of tribulation and jail and everything. He lived an exemplary Christian life, as he should, but yet the world hates true Christians, and in the world ye shall have tribulation, and but then the Bible tells us to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Well, before we continue, I want to take another, or should I say, take our first listener question. We have Joe in Slovenia. "Dear Brother Chris, thank you so much for having the conviction and courage to address the legacy of Billy Graham in an objectively balanced manner. My question is about the all-too-common drift that we see in evangelical leaders. We all know that but for the grace of God, we could all easily do the same. It is known that the pull is always to drift away from the pristine truth of God's Word and fidelity to the gospel. Biblical and church history is replete with leaders who ended poorly from the standpoint of doctrinal purity. In our own day, we see many formerly dependable teachers and preachers who have or are now drifting into apostasy. What are we to make of this? How does it happen that men of firm biblical faith drift away from the truth? What is the cause and process? How should we help ourselves and others avoid this shipwreck? Well, I'm glad that this question is being asked to a Calvinist like you are, because some of our brethren outside of the Reformed faith might answer that very differently. But if you could address that.
Well, I think there's many things to be seen. Even those who are faithful Bible believers and Bible teachers, we're all harmed by the fall. The fall of man has made us all desperately wicked and evil, and it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. And even when we speak against things that we see that are unscriptural, that's in no way building ourselves up as if we're perfect, because a true man of God is going to know his sinfulness, and that he cannot rely upon himself, and his trust must totally be upon the Lord. In saying that, I think even as we get older, most of us when we were very young or tend to be brash and straightforward, and then some men when they get quite old tend to become too mellow, I would say. We must always use the Word of God as our plumb line, and all of us are going to start drifting, but we need that with the help of the Spirit to follow the Word of God, and it'll always bring us back into conformity with what God expects of us. And so we must be charitable on one hand. The Bible certainly condemns those of a haughty spirit and prideful that think that they know everything. But on the other hand, we must declare the Word of God and what it teaches, and then let the chips fall where they will.
And I know that since you are a fellow believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace, that you would agree with me that if somebody actually enters into apostasy where they are denying the gospel or the God of the gospel, that person was never regenerate to begin with. He may have believed he was, and those around him may have believed he was, but we don't believe that a true regenerate individual can lose his salvation.
That is true, and if we're truly saved, we are truly saved for eternity, and if not, and many times we fall into the trap of trying to determine who is saved and who's not, and we believe these principles, but it's God that saves, and only God knows if a man is truly saved.
Well, Joe, in Slovenia, you have won a free copy of the booklet, The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church. Thank you for giving us an American address where your daughter lives in Georgia, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron. And we want to thank Brad Zell for providing these free copies of The Legacy of Billy Graham to give away today.
And I might just interject, Chris, that the book is available in Spanish as well.
Oh, great. And where could they order that in Spanish and in English? For those of our listeners who don't get the opportunity to win a copy today, how could they order that booklet?
Okay. The address is Redeeming the Time, which is taken from Ephesians 5:16, and the address is Post Office Box 26281, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28221.
And if anybody wants to email me, I will get that information to you later. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I'm assuming the website of Redeeming the Time will also have some kind of contact information. I know that's rttpublications.org.
Right, and they also can email us at redeemingthetime@bellsouth.net and give the address, and then that might be the easiest way.
Redeemingthetime@bellsouth.net.
Correct.
Well, thank you, Joe. And we also have, let's see here, we have Tony with an I, a lady Tony, in Rock Hill, South Carolina. She has a question for us today, and I have to enlarge the font on her email because it's very microscopic. So here we are. Tony in Rock Hill, South Carolina says, Mr. Zell is an elder at the church I attend, so hi, Brad. Oh, wow. She travels all the way from South Carolina to Charlotte, huh?
Yes. Hello to Tony.
There seems to be an awful lot of people concerned about excessive, unnecessary criticisms of Billy Graham. I don't see that it is possible to overreact to a professing preacher in the Lord's church who claims that there will be Muslims and Hindus in heaven because the covering of Christ is not necessary, not to mention the long list of other heretical statements available from his own writings and interviews. People continue to talk about Graham's seemingly faithful preaching, early profession of Christ, squeaky clean life, and humble nature as proof that he was a true believer. But I ask, could it not be the sheep's clothing the devil uses to win the trust of believers, thereby elevating his messengers to prominent and influential positions? Once these men develop a stellar reputation and influence, they can then begin to lead the church into apostasy. Well, one thing that I just have a, right now anyway, a word of correction that she, that Tony has stated. I don't think that Billy Graham would have denied that every lost person needs the covering of Christ. I think where he was very heretically flawed was in his pluralism, where he believed that sinners need Christ to be saved, but they don't need to know that, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right.
And if you want to respond to the other things that she said, I mean, obviously, you can overreact if you use viciousness and unnecessary ad hominem remarks and mockery and even exaggerations, which are, in fact, if they are exaggerations, they're slanders. You have to be careful that you're not reporting false things about him, even if you have a serious problem with his heretical teachings.
Well, I believe that part of the problem is that Graham often would speak where you could almost take that he was saying two different things. In that interview with Robert Schuller, he did say, I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. So he's, on one hand, saying that Christ is necessary, on the other hand, saying that you may not even be conscious that you're that you know Christ.
Right. I remember him saying at one point he met a man in Asia. I don't know if it was China, but I think it was China, an elderly man who believed in God, but he did not know and had never heard of the Christian faith. And Billy Graham said, I believe that that man was in love with Jesus and didn't know it.
Yeah, and that's where the problem comes. I believe Charles Hodge, in his Systematic Theology, made a statement that true religion never has existed and never can exist where the truths revealed in the Bible are unknown, and I believe that's very important. The problem with Graham saying some of these things, somebody who is a Muslim or Hindu or whatever may think that they can go to heaven while still holding to those things. And
right.
I believe the historic Christian churches would have all pretty much unanimously have denied that. And
in fact, so, why bother putting people's lives in jeopardy as they have been doing, as Christians have been doing all the way back to the first century? Why put a family, men, women, and children, in the jeopardy of being executed as they were in the first century and as they are today in Muslim countries and other lands, if they could love Jesus without making that a public, publicly known fact, and even without leaving the religion that they're a part of?
And that's correct, and I think that's the danger that Tony speaks about, because that is a real error. We tend in our day to be relative, and even though we don't agree with something, we have a great leniency, where in the history of the church, you look at the many of the great men, and they held to what the Bible taught, and they would not give allowance for a lot of things.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. It's a longer break than normal. It's about 12 minutes because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires of us a 12-minute break between our two segments. So be patient and send in your emails with your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Thank you, Tony, in Rock Hill, South Carolina. You're also going to win a free copy of the book by our guest today, The Legacy of Billy Graham. And we also want to plug the books that you have recommended. I know of one of them, Ian Murray's Evangelicalism Divided. Tony also recommends Dr. E.S. Williams' Ecumenism, Another Gospel. I'm not familiar with that one. Another one that I could include that unfortunately is out of print, but you could still get used copies of it, and I'm hoping somebody reprints it, Errol Hull's, who I have had the privilege of hearing preach on Long Island, New York, when he was visiting from Leeds, England, to preach at the Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, where I was saved and baptized. But he wrote a book called Billy Graham, The Pastor's Dilemma, and that was coming from someone who actually worked as a volunteer for the Billy Graham Crusades, but then became convicted that it was a heretical approach that they were taking. And in fact, I'm not 100% certain, but I believe the late Errol Hull's may have even been led to Christ through a Billy Graham crusade. And there are people who were saved as a result of God using Billy Graham as an instrument, but who later, even though they knew that God used him to bring them to salvation, they knew that they had to expose the dangerously heretical aspects of his ministry when they became aware of them, out of the need to honor and obey God and his word rather than man. But we're going to our midway break right now. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation, with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices.
Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And please tell Todd and Patty Jennings, owners of cvbbs.com, that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, when you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will get free shipping on all orders of $50 or more. And you'll also get, for all orders of $50 or more, a free copy of Sinclair Ferguson's book, Faithful God, an exposition of the Book of Ruth, which retails for $14. Go to cvbbs.com and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, or call 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They man... those phone lines, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time,
800-656-0231. I just have a couple of announcements before I return to Brad Zell. And by the way, in case you're ever Googling his name or trying to find it, it's spelled G-S-E-L-L, unlike what you might think. Before we return to that discussion on the legacy of Billy Graham, there's a couple of announcements. The Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit is the theme of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, which is being held at two locations, neither one of them Philadelphia. We have April 13th through the 15th. The conference will be held at the First Christian Reformed Church of Byron Center, Michigan. And then from the 27th through the 29th, the conference will be held at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Speakers include Daniel Aiken, Richard Gaffin, Daniel Hyde, and Conrad Mbewe, who's one of my favorite preachers of all time, a powerful, powerful preacher, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, a thoroughgoing Reformed Baptist, and I just can never hear him enough. He is such a faithful preacher and such a powerful preacher. Richard Phillips, who's another friend of mine from Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Jonathan Master, who's been a guest here on Iron Sharpens Iron. David Murray, who's also been a guest. And Scott Oliphant, who has not yet been a guest, but I hope to have him on sometime soon. To register, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on Events, then click on Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, Spirit of the Age, Age of the Spirit. Please tell them that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now I just must quickly do the part of the program that I hate doing, and that's asking you for money. The advertisers that you hear on this program have spent hard-earned dollars to keep this program on the air, and they have urged me over and over and over again to make public appeals for donations. I resisted for years doing so, but just, I don't know how many months ago it was, perhaps as long ago as 8 months ago, I finally acquiesced and succumbed to their pressure, and I fully recognize the need for doing this because we are in financial difficulties. If you want the program to remain on the air, if you love it, if you don't want it to go off the air, if you look forward to it every day, if you share the MP3 links with your friends and family, please consider donating to us whatever you can afford to donate. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and then you'll be given a mailing address where you can send a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for any amount you can afford. And as I try to remember to tell you every day, never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Providing for your church and your home are two commands of God. Providing for my radio program is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please give to us as much as you can and as often as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and clicking support and mailing a check to the address you see. If you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, or your special event, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with the beliefs of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't have to believe it identically with me, but you do need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. And send us the email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Now we are back with our guest, Brad Zell. And Brad, for those of you just tuning in, is an elder at the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's also the author of The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Before we go to any more of the listener questions, Brad, I think it's very important to know, for our listeners to know, the level of compromise that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is involved in regard to the volunteer counselors, is what I believe they are called, those who are waiting by the platform for the audience members who are responding to an altar call or an invitation. The people that are waiting there to guide people in their minds in a prayer that will lead them to salvation, those people aren't necessarily even Bible-believing Christians, are they?
That is correct, and the Crusade Committees, as has been mentioned, are comprised of those in the Catholic Church and even the Jewish synagogue, and so often the counselors come from the churches of those who are on the platform.
Yeah, and in fact, I can recall when Billy Graham came to the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island, my sister, who is a Roman Catholic, wanted me to go with her to the crusade. So I agreed because I wanted to be able to tell her all the things that I was disagreeing with the Billy Graham crusade about. I wanted to obviously be right there with her so I could discuss these things with her. And we all took a bus from a local church that was not the church where I was a member. It was another church. We all took a bus to the Nassau Coliseum. And the pastor of that church was across the aisle. And I said to him, isn't it true that if you are a counselor at the Billy Graham Crusades, you are forbidden to refer a person to a Bible-believing church? You are instructed to have them return to the church or religion that they came from. And this pastor who was involved in the crusade agreed that that was true. And I said, well, don't you believe in the necessity of Christ and his gospel to be saved? And he said, yes. And I said, well, why do you do this? And he said, well, I know a lot of people are getting saved here, so I'm just taking advantage of the fact that a lot of people are getting saved. So it's basically a pragmatic understanding of if you could get people to come to Christ, and in fact, you know, that's even a question on whether they are coming to Christ when they're responding to an invitation there. But this is the kind of pragmatism that people are involved in. But can you respond to what I just said?
Yes, and that is very true. There's plenty of documentation. When Graham first started this slide back in the 50s, the San Francisco News said, anyone who makes a decision at our meetings is seen later and referred to a local clergyman, Protestant, Catholic, or Jewish. And there's just quite a few reports of this. And Dr. Robert Ketchum of the General Association of Regular Baptist had firsthand experience with that, and it's just a sad thing because you want a new Christian to be fed the Word of God. And another thing too is the Great Commission, where we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as Mark 16 has it, but if you look at other portions, Matthew 28:19-20, the concept of discipleship, it's not just having somebody sign their name at the bottom of a prayer, but the whole ball of wax is that someone comes to Christ and then they're discipled. Well, you can't disciple someone if you're sending them to receive poison. They have to be sent somewhere where a faithful minister is going to be proclaiming the Word of God.
Well, yes, and one of the crucial areas of concern with Billy Graham himself and the Evangelistic Association is that they don't think they are returning people to poison. Billy Graham believes that the Catholic Church is a valid church. In fact, he described Pope John Paul II as the greatest evangelist in the 20th century. When John Paul II died, I can clearly remember Billy Graham being interviewed, and he was asked, do you believe that Pope John Paul II is in heaven? And Billy Graham answered, I'm not sure I will be, but I'm sure he is. Franklin Graham gave the same accolades to Pope John Paul II. They obviously did not believe that the gospel that the reformers lived and died for, the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, for the glory of God alone. They obviously did not believe that that was an extremely important gospel, in fact, the only gospel. They couldn't if they knew anything about the Roman Catholic Church. Am I right?
That is correct, and we've seen quite a blurring of the lines on the doctrine of justification by faith alone, even in some conservative churches. And this past summer, the World Conference of Reformed Churches, which is mostly liberal, but they met in the city church in Wittenberg, where Martin Luther preached, and signed a joint declaration on justification with the Roman Catholic Church and the Methodists and the Lutherans, and they pretty well downplayed that there's any significant differences between them. But if you look at the Catholic Catechism, some people say, well, since Vatican II, things have changed. And, of course, there are some changes, but the Catholic Catechism that was published in the late 90s when John Paul II was Pope, it has all the same teaching as the Council of Trent, where the teaching of the Reformation was declared to be anathema, that you deserved hell if you believed that. And so these people that talk out of both sides of their mouth, you have to look at the words that are there and what they mean, and there still is an unbridgeable difference between the whole gospel in Rome and true Protestantism.
Yeah, the modern catechism of the Catholic Church, although it states faithfulness to the Council of Trent, it obviously adds things in there that those assembled at the Council of Trent would have called out for the death of the person, saying that the Muslims adore the same one true God as they do.
Right.
And the thing, something that people must be aware of is that when you read things like that, these liberal things, those are not dogmatic declarations of the Church of Rome. The Council of Trent was and is. The Council of Trent includes teachings that can never be overturned by the Church of Rome.
Right, exactly. And I find these ecumenical groups, you read their statements and great flowery words and what appear to be wonderful sentiments, but yet they're full of loopholes and they're purposely vague so that the Catholic can read that and mean one thing and the more conservative Protestant over here can read it and mean something else. And we have to condemn that, because the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, and it's clear in what is being stated.
In fact, when I can recall vividly when Pope John Paul II became the Pope, Billy Graham publicly boasted of his friendship with that Polish cardinal who became Pope, and actually preached at that Polish cardinal's church. Cardinal Wojtyla was his name? When his Polish name, his actual original name, Wojtyla?
Yeah, I can't pronounce. I don't know the pronunciation, but you're referring to the one that became
Pope John Paul II, yeah.
Right.
He preached at his Catholic church in Poland the day that he became that John Paul II became the Pope. Billy Graham preached at his church, and they had a very deep friendship, according to Graham. And you know, that's one thing to have a friendship with somebody who has a false gospel. That is actually encouraged in the scriptures, that we, the only people that we're forbidden to have fellowship with and have meals with are those who profess to be Christian, who are scandalously living or living scandalously, but and have a friendship with somebody when you are bringing them the gospel and urging them to repent, that's one thing. But when you are having a friendship with somebody and declaring to the world that this person not only has a true gospel, but he is even superior in his faith to you than you, you're getting into mind-boggling heresy. I don't even understand how somebody who appears to have known what the gospel is for decades of his life could make those statements and be involved in those kinds of relationships.
That's correct. And the problem is when being charitable becomes more important than being faithful. And I've never had much appreciation for someone who blusters and is quick to attack and condemn. But on the other hand, I do have a value in those that have just graciously but firmly stood faithful to the Word of God at all costs and have not been afraid to say so. I think we've gotten in the 20th and 21st century a whole way away from the prophets. Isaiah in Isaiah 58:1 said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." And Billy Graham said that his whole message was the love of God, and that's John 3:16. It's the heart of the gospel that God so loved the world. But it didn't keep him from telling the religious leaders of his day, "Ye are of your father the devil." So did Billy Graham tell Bishop Pike that he was of his father the devil when he declared that he didn't believe in the Trinity, that and flippantly referred to it as the God by committee? And Bishop Gerald Kennedy, the Methodist bishop, and G. Bromley Oxnam, the another Methodist bishop, who said that when he recited the Apostles' Creed, he just did it as some kind of a war cry, that he didn't really mean it. And so I can't imagine Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets or even the Apostle Paul or Jesus Christ having such men on their platforms. They would have rather said, "You're of your father the devil."
Yeah, Billy Graham declared accolades upon even men who denied the deity of Christ and his bodily resurrection. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to let you think about the question during our last station break, which is a very brief one. It's not like the other one.
Okay.
And then we'll also take some more listener questions. My question to you is the same question that has been posed to me going back in the 90s when I was sharing with people my disapproval of the Billy Graham Crusades and my reasons for not wanting to attend them or support them, other than when I went with my sister because she requested that I go. She was a Roman Catholic sister who still is a Roman Catholic who I love dearly. But when people would react in horror, when Christians would react in horror, even conservative evangelicals would react in horror when I would say that I do not want any part of the Crusades, a number of them said to me, "How dare you? Who do you think you are? How many people have you led to Christ when Billy Graham is possibly responsible for leading millions to Christ? And you have the audacity to say things seriously critical of him when you might not even be able to count on the fingers of two hands how many people you led to Christ." How do you react to that kind of charge from someone? And we'll have you answer that when we return from our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Brad Zell and more of the legacy of Billy Graham when we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com. and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in for the last 90 minutes and the next 25 minutes to come, our guest has been and will continue to be Brad K. Zell. We are discussing his book, or his booklet, The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church. If you want to join us on the air with a question before the program ends, please do so quickly. We already have some people waiting in line. And if you want to get on the line with them, send your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And listener, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, confirmed that I was correct on at least the last name, as best as I could pronounce it, Cardinal Karol Józef Wojtyła. And of course, I could be butchering the Polish pronunciation. He was the Polish cardinal who became Pope John Paul II. I want you to answer now, Brad, my question to you that was posed to me. Of course, I'm fairly confident you have been used of God to lead a lot more people to Christ than I have, but it still comparatively rings true, I think. When somebody says to you, how could you possibly in any way disparage the memory or the legacy or the honor and reputation of somebody who has been used of God to lead thousands of more people to Christ than you have, perhaps even millions, it seems like an arrogant thing to do, but if you could comment on that.
Right. Well, it's a natural human tendency, and even in some cases a correct thing, that often what might be called little people will take some kind of delight in attacking someone who is exceptionally successful. The thing that the Bible requires, Paul tells us it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And this reasoning of look how much he's done is, again, not a scriptural argument, but more of a human argument. Now, I have to be very careful in how I say this to not come off being misunderstood, but the verse that I would like to read refers to that argument. It's not applied directly to Billy Graham. We see in Matthew 7 where it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done this, we've done that, we've done many wonderful works, and yet that wasn't acceptable to the Lord. And so we see all through the scriptures where those that have done less are not rejected by the Lord. And even in the days of Israel, you see the children of Israel with David with his 10,000s and Saul with his thousands, and the comparisons and the jealousies and so forth. I do not care to take anything away from Billy Graham, and he's in many ways, you call him way more gifted than I could ever dream of being. But that's no argument. Faithfulness is the thing that the Lord looks for. And how often has the Lord used someone who, humanly speaking, has had many, many limitations, but yet they did what the Lord would have them to do.
Yes, and we have, let's see, we have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. He says, are you aware of any person that is being viewed by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association as a replacement for Billy Graham, or at least one who would be their key speaker for all kinds of public events and crusades?
I don't have any knowledge of that. Of course, Graham's son, Franklin, is the president now, and he has spoken. I'm not sure that the day of large crusades is here now as much as it was back in the last half of the 20th century, but it's always a difficult thing when a prominent leader leaves the scene, and so other than Franklin Graham, I'm not really aware.
Yes, there were certain things that I was impressed with when I heard Franklin Graham speak on occasions, very boldly speaking out against the Muslim terrorists and making it clear that this was a theological issue. He was saying things that his father, I don't think, ever would have said in the latter part of the 20th century or dawn of the 21st century. But at the same time, I don't think that, and please don't go overboard when you folks are hearing me say the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree, but he does seem to have carried with him, Franklin, that is, some of the other traits and beliefs and ideologies of his dad in regard to ecumenism. As I said earlier, he was applauding John Paul II, the Pope, after his death as being one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived, and so on as well. There are certain things where he seems to be in lockstep with his father in those very negative areas.
That's correct, and I think we need to be careful. We held positions back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and now we may not be as quick to do that. Well, if we're rooted in the Bible and not just in human emotion and getting caught up in the cause of the day, the Bible is timeless, and so biblical principles never change. Situations, circumstances do, but the principles remain the same, and so I have seen no reason to get rid of all the teachings that we've had on Roman Catholicism. If you can show where something's been stated inaccurately, that's fine. Christians, I always tell people I'm not for political correctness, I'm just for correctness. And the Bible is a book of truth, and all of Christianity is based upon truth. And so if we deal with the truth, we can never go wrong.
Yeah, I cannot imagine that if the Judaizers were in existence today, and in fact they are in different forms, but if the same group of people that Paul condemned in the New Testament period, if they were here today, I have a lot of confidence in a sad way that Billy Graham would have included them amongst the people that he applauds and gives accolades to, and perhaps might have even had leaders in the Judaizing movement up there on the platform with him. I mean, if you're going to have a Roman Catholic priest or priests and bishops and cardinals and even give public accolades to the Pope when they are far more guilty of violating the same principle that the Judaizers did. I mean, all we know is that the Judaizers added circumcision to faith as a requirement for becoming a Christian, and the Roman Catholic Church requires much more than that. But I can't help but think that Billy Graham would have viewed them as just another fine group of Christian folks. Am I logically consistent here?
I believe because you know, the Apostle Paul, you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he talks of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Well, I can't imagine Billy Graham in his practice and even his words. You never heard him talking about a Christian leader that they concerning the truth have erred. And so I certainly can't speculate on any particular thing, but yet his whole pattern is that. Chris, I don't want to interject, but the American Council of Christian Churches released a statement today concerning Dr. Graham and his death, and if there's time, the last two paragraphs, I think, are really...
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay. The council writes, "The legacy that the late Dr. Graham has left is an evangelical movement bereft of any unyielding theological moorings. By embracing the strategy of compromise with those who denied the faith of the Scriptures, He, like his new evangelical colleagues, did not influence the liberals to a more biblical position. Instead, the liberals dragged Graham further and further from the message with which he began his ministry. Therefore, the American Council of Christian Churches, while joining and expressing sympathy to Dr. Graham's family on the occasion of his death, must remain steadfast in defense of the faith by urging the rejection of Billy Graham's compromising strategy and the repudiation of his legacy of vacillation that has provided encouragement to those who despise the truth of the gospel as we find it in the scriptures. We resolve to remain true to the position to which our Lord has called us, to come out from among those who refuse the truth and to be separated unto Jesus Christ.
That's an excellent statement. Let's see, we have RJ in White Plains, New York. And RJ says, are you aware if Billy Graham maintained close friendships with any very solidly biblical ministers who over and over again urged him to repent of his erring ways, obviously those urgings being refused by Graham? Are you aware of any such kind of close relationships with genuine, solidly biblical Christians?
Yes, Billy Graham was solidly in the fundamentalist movement in the 1940s. And as many know, he attended Bob Jones College, which is now Bob Jones University, and was very good friends with the Jones family. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. himself was a noted evangelist in the very early 20th century. And Dr. Graham was friends with Robert Ketchum of the General Association of Regular Baptists, and most of the fundamentalist world at that time. He had close connections. Carl McIntyre, of the founding president of the International Council, spoke at Graham's church in Charlotte, and there's quite a few that could be mentioned.
Well, RJ was specifically saying any friendships that he maintained until his death that you are aware of with solidly biblical people who were urging him to repent of his errors.
Well, I think that he may have maintained friendships. In fact, when Bob Jones Jr. Passed away, who was an outspoken critic of Graham, wrote a eulogy at Jones's death, speaking of their close friendship. And in fact, one of the first Hour of Decision programs was made in the facilities at Bob Jones. But I imagine, though, by the end of his life, after decades of rejecting the fundamentalist position, that most of those that worked with him would have accepted his philosophy of working with anybody and everyone.
Well, thank you, RJ. You have also won a free copy of The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth Through Error in the Evangelical Church. Compliments of our guest, Brad Zell, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be shipping that booklet out to you. Please make sure we have your full mailing address. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, I have heard that there were Christians who were victims of communist persecution, who were outraged when Billy Graham visited the Soviet Union and gave the communists a clean bill of health, spiritually and theologically speaking, in regard to their treatment of Christians. Is this true?
Yes, back in the, I believe, the 1980s, Billy Graham went to the Soviet Union, and while he was in the first battle of Moscow, some of the believers held down banners in opposition, and he spoke in a number of the cities in Eastern Europe, and for those that have studied this, there was terrible persecution under the Soviet rule, particularly of Bible believers. They had their showplace churches that with Russian Orthodox clergy, and they would come to America and pretend to be Christians. I believe it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn that wrote that a spectacle not seen in 2,000 years with atheists running the churches in the Soviet Union. I remember the Russian Baptist, Jacob and Michael Zidkov and Alexei Bichkov, they wrote to Stalin on the 40th anniversary of the Soviet Union, and saying that communism was bringing in the kingdom of God. And so this was a charade. And again, Graham had the philosophy that if he was given great access to speak, then that didn't matter, that he went under the sponsorship of some of these who really, I believe later, some of these so-called clergymen were found to be KGB agents.
Wow. Yeah, I'm almost certain Richard Wurmbrand had a lot of criticism towards Billy Graham in regard to his softening or even eclipsing the truth in regard to the persecution of Christians by the Soviet Union.
That is correct, and in fact, even as far back as 1966, when Graham had his World Congress on Evangelism in Berlin, I believe Richard Wurmbrand was disinvited because he had planned to speak against the communist persecution.
Well, thank you, Ronald. You're also getting a free copy of The Legacy of Billy Graham. Please give us your full mailing address. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, didn't Billy Graham have a heretical understanding of revelation, a view that seemed to deny supernatural revelation in favor of natural?
Yes, we touched on that somewhat. I believe the, when we discussed Robert Schuller and so forth, a lot of his thinking is rooted in the idea that supernatural revelation isn't necessary to salvation, that by the whole creation around us and so forth that we can have enough light. But the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe that supernatural revelation is indispensable, and that's been the position of all the reformers. And Charles Hodge, one of my favorite theologians, clearly stated that in his systematic theology.
Well, thank you, John. You've also won a free copy of The Legacy of Billy Graham. Make sure we have your full mailing address. Before I take any more listeners' questions, I want you to have about 4 minutes of time uninterrupted where you can summarize the things that you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Okay. The Bible is... Sometimes it's not something that we can understand. It's something that we don't want to follow. We can't follow Christ on our own. The Old Testament talks about the arm of flesh that will fail us, and God's work must be done in God's way in order to receive God's blessing. And if we strategize and think, well, if I do this, I'll be able to accomplish this, we often run into our biggest troubles. What we should do is to be faithful, to pray, to use the talents that God has given us. It's not that we should be in action or disarray. No, but we are to do what God would have us to do. And how many faithful believers have we seen? How many faithful grandmothers who sit down and pray every day for their families and their church and their nation? And God is going to be more happy and pleased with them than he is the man that is out doing all kinds of things and getting notoriety, but yet not doing it according to God's word. And if we have those principles, I believe our Puritan forefathers in Europe and the United States, and many who were here when our country was founded, just a simple trust in the Lord and working day by day, using our time, our talents, and all that God has given us. God tells us, Paul tells us in the New Testament, that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we speak of giving the gospel. Let not us be lax in going forth and giving the gospel. The whole New Testament, we talked about Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28, and Acts 1:8 tells us that this is a very important verse. Acts 1:8, it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the other uttermost part of the earth." But we often forget the first part of that verse that tells us, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And so we don't go preach the gospel in our own power and strength, but ye shall receive power. And let us have a burning desire to see souls come to Christ and then to disciple them. And to let's live our lives so that they're exemplary before the Lord, and that ye are epistles written before men, and let Christ be seen in our lives. And I think that's the thing that we need to remember. Also, study sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And the very first thing there is doctrine. Study what the Bible teaches. Understand the Bible. Know the Bible. Be a lifelong student of the Bible. And then these other things, once we know the Scriptures and as we continue to know them, it'll bring us back into line. It'll give us reproof when we do wrong. It'll correct us when we are not doing what we should, and give us instruction in righteousness. And those are the things that we all need to remember. This is a very wicked day in which we live, and our paper, Redeeming the Time, comes from Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And let's not fret and despair as we see so much around us, but let us be joyful in serving the Lord and living our lives as he would have us to live them.
Amen. Didn't you have some kind of an offer you wanted to mention about your magazine?
Yes. The same email address that I gave earlier, redeemingthetime@bellsouth.net. If you send your address, we'll give you a free subscription to our 16-page quarterly magazine, Redeeming the Time. And just to set your mind at ease, we rarely send out any other mailing, so you won't be inundated with a bunch of junk mail, just the quarterly magazine. And we also have the Legacy of Billy Graham, both in English and in Spanish, should you desire to have a copy.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. I want to thank you so much for taking a very sensitive and controversial issue and bathing it with grace, not being more offensive than need be, and letting the truth speak for itself in this area. I hope to have you back on the program in the near future again, Brad Zell.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's been my privilege to be with you today.
I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. Those of you, the few of you that were still waiting to have your questions asked and answered, you have also won a free copy of the booklet that we have been discussing, The Legacy of Billy Graham. I hope you all have a safe and blessed weekend and Lord's Day, and I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.